Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Let's read again what we read last week. Verse 1 through 3. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." This is John the Baptist, part 36, and our detour into the book of Malachi, part 8. I've got an hour's worth of material, and I've got 26 minutes to preach it in. Heavenly Father, help us today to understand what the Bible is telling us. In Jesus' name, amen. Last time I looked at Genesis chapter 49, and I don't want to reiterate it, but we saw that Jesus, as we know, is from the tribe of Judah. And it prophesies, or Jacob does, that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And we know that Jesus is of the tribe of Judah. But then in verse 22, it jumps down and talks of Joseph, but that the archers grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence, or from the tribe of Joseph, is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And we said that this is talking of the first and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we said that you couldn't separate the two. Sure, there's been 2,000 years so far that he hasn't come back, but it's the Lord, it's the one Jesus Christ that comes and makes his appearance the first time and the second. And often we think of them, yeah, it's the same Jesus, but in our minds it's separate. But really, it's one Lord, but two appearances. And we saw that when it's talking of Judah, the king, that King Jesus, he rode into Jerusalem to die. Well, why would a king die? And again, we looked at all of that, and we have to understand both the passage of Judah and the passage of Joseph to get a sense of what he's saying. But Isaiah chapter 61, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, and it goes on. But this is Isaiah's prophecy of Jesus Christ when he appears, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, today is the day of salvation. It's time to give your heart to God if you haven't done so. So that's Isaiah's prophecy again in chapter 61. But in Luke chapter 4, and I know I'm hurrying, I've got a lot of material, but Luke chapter 4, it says that Jesus was baptized and then he returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And this passage starts in verse 14. But he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He said, hey, I want to read in verse 16. And it says in verse 17 that they handed him the book or the scroll of Isaiah. And when he found the right place, it says, he quoted what we just read. That the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to preach the gospel and to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance, to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's in verse 19, but in verse 20 and 21, it says he closed the book, or the scroll, and he handed it back to the minister, and he sat down. And it says that everybody was watching him, looking at him. And then it says that he began to say unto them, this day, today, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. It's wonderful. It's wonderful that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. But notice, it says that he stopped when he talked about the acceptable year of the Lord, and he closed it, and he handed it back, and he sat down and said it's fulfilled. But we just read in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2, he listed all of these things to heal the brokenhearted, whatever, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. And then it goes on. He quoted part of the prophecy, and then he sat down and said, that part's fulfilled. That part is fulfilled. He quoted only the part that applied to the first coming. The wonderful things. Proclaim liberty to the captives. All the good stuff. But then he stopped. And he didn't read on. Because the day of vengeance of our God has not been fulfilled. Again, he comes once, and then he comes again. The first time he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. In Revelation 19, it says he comes back from heaven on a charger, a white charger, with all the Christians with him. And he comes to the Mount of Olives. He returns to Israel as king, as conquering king, as ruling king. It says that he'll rule the nations with a rod of iron. He's not going to put up with a lot of nonsense that we have here today. His word will be law. Again, the first time he came as a lamb, but the second time as a lion. And I'm sure that we understand that there's two comings, two advents of Christ, but it's the same person. It's the same person. He has two aspects. One aspect is that he came to sacrifice his life for the sins of the world. But this same Jesus, it says in Acts chapter 1, returns. He returns. But just as we saw in Genesis 49, that it talks about Judah and kingship, the scepter won't depart from Judah until Shiloh come. But then it begins to talk about blood and riding on that donkey with the other one, and then just days later, shedding his blood for our sins. He's a king, and yet a servant. The Jews, in fact, the rabbis through the centuries scratched their heads and wondered, well, we don't understand. Is the Messiah from the tribe of Judah or from the tribe of Joseph? And some of them said, well, there must be two messiahs. But again, it's the two comings, the two advents, the two appearances of our Lord Jesus Christ. But speaking of the Jews, in Luke 4, when Jesus did that, when he took the scroll and read it and stopped and then sat down and said, hey, this first part is fulfilled. Then he says things that get them extremely mad. He starts talking about, hey, yeah, I'm the Messiah. But what about those Gentiles that Elijah was sent to Sarepta, the woman that was a widow, and she was fed during the famine? And Elisha, the prophet. There were a bunch of lepers during that time, but the only one that was cleansed was Naaman the Syrian, a Gentile. And the Jews in that synagogue, the rabbis, whatever, they got extremely upset. They were filled with wrath, it said in verse 29, and they grabbed him. They brought him out of the city. They went to the edge of the cliff, the brow of the hill, what have you, and they were going to throw him off the cliff. But it wasn't his time to die. And it says that he passed through the middle of them and went his way. There's a lot here. I might have mentioned there's a sermon that I want to preach. The title is The Feasts of Israel and the Great Commission. It's good that Christ came on the day of Passover. It's good that the Spirit fell from heaven in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. But there's another major feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, where the harvest is finally gathered in. And then that's it. The year's over. But the implication is we have to gather in this harvest, this wheat or whatever it was, before it's too late. We have to get the stuff in, pick it, whatever, get it in the barn, protect it however it's done, before it's too late, before the harvest perishes. And Jesus said, that the fields are white already unto harvest. The Jews had their Messiah. Now it's time to go gather in the Gentiles. And that's where we are today, the church age, the Gentile church. But one day, judgment's coming. One day the Lord will return the second time. And we need to be ready. We need to gather in the lost before it's too late. But again, there are two comings of the Lord. Two appearances, but he's one Jesus Christ. I'm trying to get this across. Maybe I'm not doing a very good job, but I'm trying to get it across that it's one Lord, though he comes in two appearances. In Matthew chapter 3, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now we understand that Jesus, he came the first time to die on the cross. And for 3 or however many years it was, 3.5 years, whatever, before that, he healed the sick everywhere he went. He cleansed the leper. He raised the dead. He would interrupt funerals. He would show compassion to the woman caught in adultery, what have you. He did all these great things. But John says, hey, the Lord's coming. Prepare the way of the Lord by repenting, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven. We know that Jesus, God, was incarnated and became a man, and heaven appeared. The kingdom of heaven and the King, Jesus Christ, appeared. But he's at hand. Get ready. He's coming. But in verse 5 and 6, it says that then went out to him all Jerusalem and Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him, confessing their sins. Again, the King is coming. You need to get ready. Any hidden sin you've got in your life, confess it, rededicate your life, what have you, repent and be baptized. But then in verse 7 through 9, it says the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and they had no interest in repenting. They were there to criticize. And these are the guys that would later arrest the Lord, bring him to Pilate, what have you. And on their testimony, Jesus was crucified. But when John saw the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said, "O generation of vipers, you bunch of snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" We just looked in Isaiah 61 and then Luke chapter 4 when Jesus quoted it. He stopped and didn't talk about the second coming. But John the Baptist here, he's announcing the first coming. But when the Pharisees come, he switches gears and begins to talk about the second coming of the Lord. Again, one Lord, two appearances. But just as Jacob, when he was telling his sons about the Messiah and which tribe the Messiah would come from, he talks a little of Judah and he talks a little of Joseph. And in John the Baptist's message, he intermingles or mixes together the first and the second coming, because he's not preaching the first or the second. He's preaching that Jesus Christ would come, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus is coming. You see, he's trying to say it doesn't matter which appearance, which coming, but it's not about one or the other, but it's about the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. In Luke chapter 19, and this is mentioned in all four Gospels, I'll read this particular version. And I can't, I'm out of time, I'll just have to skim it. Verse 29 through 36, it talks of Jesus' triumphal entry into the city and into the temple. And he was riding on one donkey or whatever, and he had the other one tied behind. And as he rides in, they take their clothes off, their jackets or whatever, and throw it down so that he's riding not on earth, but protected from the earth. And we've seen this in the movie Coming to America. When the king shows up, they're throwing rose petals so that the king doesn't walk on the ground, but he's standing on rose petals. But Jesus, he rides in just a few days he'll be crucified. But then verse 37 through 40, they continue to worship him. They're rejoicing, they're praising God, they're saying all this great stuff, they're worshiping, they're saying, blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Again, he rides in, they worship him, but then in verse 41 through 44, it says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. And he pronounces judgment on the city of Jerusalem. Remember our little detour, we're looking at Malachi. In chapter 1 and 2, God exposes the sin and corruption and partiality and whatever of the priests. John said, hey guys, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus is coming. But here, just as Jesus rides into Jerusalem, he prophesies against it and weeps over it. And he says that this temple and whatever, there's not going to be one stone left on another. And we see that today. The only thing left is the wall, the part of the city, the Wailing Wall or whatever. This prophecy has been fulfilled, and in fact was done so in A.D. 70. But he said, because you knew not the time of your visitation. We talked last time about the guy with the stuff. If he had known what time the thief was coming, he'd have sat up and watched. And I said, we don't know what time. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. We need to watch always and keep our hearts pure and to live for Him and be disciples every day, because we don't know when He's coming. Again, John said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus said, your kingdom is lost to you, Israel, because you didn't know the time of your visitation. Well, what does visitation mean? Again, John said, the kingdom of heaven is coming. A visitation by the Lord Jesus, God from heaven. Again, God visiting from heaven. And coming to take account. And what he found when he got here, he wasn't pleased, because the Jews had squandered what they were given. And they lost their kingdom because they didn't know the time of their visitation. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today, and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.